I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Red Room.
Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rent room. We let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Rant Room.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest. You guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, Lisa? 2007.
I'm trying to be my best behavior.
Why?
Like, I'm sitting on my thing. I'm so excited.
She's all nervous, Alano.
Like, we've had all kinds of people coming here. Like, we've had, like, big producers, you know, and I'm just like, whatevs, yeah, it's cool. But it's like when it's your TV show, and it's your show.
You have no idea how many. We've done 100 and, I don't know, 50-something episodes. Damn, everyone, she's talking about goddamn underground.
Like, I got
this bitch right here.
And I was a stan when the show first came out, and I was trying to tell people, like, this is when you know that your work has paid off. Because Into the Badlands and Underground, I'd be the main one. I'd be live tweeting by myself.
On it.
Right. Y'all need to be on top of that. Why y'all not watching this? And now that it has come to pass that people have recognized my wisdom, yeah. Take full credit for it.
Fact.
I'm excited. Y'all should have been in there from jump.
Right.
I'm going to be on my best behavior. So, okay.
That's right. Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft. Shit like that. So we got potty bounds on the show.
Yeah.
Don't talk about
I'm
it.
I'm so sorry, mama.
So what's up, Lisa Cote Jam?
It's good. We have a couple of more episodes of my other show, Into the Badlands. Don't know if Sunny gonna make it up with Vale or what's gonna happen. I'm missing Baron Chow.
Oh, yeah.
When you got satin and furs and high heels and kicking butt, that can't be a one-off. You got to bring that shit back. And, I'm excited. Because, I'm only there for the fashion, the kung fu.
And Danny Wu with his shirt off, right? Okay, let's get it real.
Don't tell my business out there like that.
We got the videotape, bitch.
Okay, all right.
That's what's up. So you guys know how we do it on the Rant Room. If you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in. So today, look at her, all excited.
No, I'm just trying to say, y'all gonna be jealous.
She's trying to be cool.
Wait, no. My Twitter feed's up. Hey, Jamie.
They gonna be hate.
Lauren. No, they're not. They
yeah, it is.
So, okay. My crew is like the black girl nerds and
yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
What's
so it's
up,
like,
black girl
so
nerds.
They do their podcasts and do their stuff. It's always like, if you get somebody, it's like,
yes.
Don't be jealous, y'all. We family.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited, y'all. All right.
If I knew how to live tweet, I'd be doing that shit. Anyway, so if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in. So today, special show.
Why you got the jazz hands up? Today.
No one can see you. No one can see you with your jazz hands. We deserve jazz hands, but no one can see that
y'all deserve it. Y'all deserve it, bitches.
Hey, a little couple dabs. Hey.
So silly.
Exactly. So we got y'all in the house today, actors, producers. I love it.
Thank you.
Which we're going to get into.
Writers.
Yes, because I'm all about progression.
Thank you.
You know, motherfuckers ain't just acting no more, bitch. You got to have five jobs.
Yeah, come on.
Exactly. So let me introduce first to my right, DeWanda Weiss.
Hi.
Do you also add DeMiller in there?
That's our
in my
legal,
real life.
Yeah, that's a legal name.
So it is just DeWanda Weiss.
It is.
Okay.
DeWanda
okay.
Weiss.
Cool. And then of course my man Alano Miller.
What's up, y'all?
My twin cousin.
Yes.
He's just a little bit taller than me.
Just a little taller.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Good Lord.
Exactly. Star, Pimp Dog himself.
Yeah.
How many hyphens should I keep you on?
Listen.
Mr. Evil.
Mr. The Problem.
No. You know what?
Look.
No.
The real Oliver Twist.
Nah.
Yeah. No. The real Artful Dodger. That's
wow.
That's the one.
That's a good one.
That's really
good. Because I know you did the show.
Yeah.
I know you did the show.
Yes.
Exactly. That is the show.
I will accept that.
Yeah, Dodge. What's that? Every time I see him in that top hat, I'm like, look at this black
Alpha Dodger looking motherfucker. Like, the tutorial skills is like there. It's like the clothes.
Yes.
Okay? When Kato comes out, like, what he gonna wear?
It's true.
It's true.
You know, yeah,
it's true.
You've been giving it to him.
Hey.
Exactly.
So anyway, why this is an important episode, I got to tell y'all, because there's so much stuff that's going on the wall right now. And I think, okay, first, like, can I just preface this, you guys? Let me lay the foundation for you. Hey, Jeff, because me and Jeff Thorne, you know me and Jeff. For years, me and him.
Jeffrey Thorne's a big writer-producer.
Right.
We
dislike a lot of slave narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. Narratives of enslavement, because we didn't come here as slaves, we was enslaved.
Right.
So, you know, there's certain movies that we will go see and talk about, like, we saw 12 Years a Slave, we'll go see some stuff. But there came a point where, honestly, like, I just didn't want to see another slave movie where it was like, are we going to do something? Like, because the slave narratives I've read and have listened to and have, like, done research for my own writing and for books, because I write science fiction and I write horror and I mix a lot of historical fiction, especially with black people, and especially with black people from the diaspora, which is from the Caribbean, from the continent, or from, you know, my USA. People.
I was about to say,
look,
a lot
you like
over
a tri-level like
Bahamas, Jamaica,
Cuban,
every island, all the islands. I'm here, our cousin from the islands. It's right here. But it was like, it got to a point where, and I'm going to say, to be honestly, it's like, I did not want to see another. Mm-hmm. Like, the last one
We talked about it when it came out.
Listen, the last slave narrative story that I saw that I really liked was The Book of Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, it was from a perspective we never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
It was dealing with Britain, Canada, and a black woman and just doing some stuff. And it was the first time I was actually starting to see us actually do something.
Yes.
Maybe have a little agency.
Mm-hmm.
So when Underground came out, my first thought was, well, of course, that's my Lisa voice. Like, I don't know. I want to support the brothers.
She turns into a 6-year-old all of a sudden.
You know, because I'm always open to something new. And what made me honestly want to check it out, one, was the actors they had in it. But number two, it was Misha. It was the producer and the creator of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself,
we would love to have her on the show.
Yeah. If someone's going to tell a story about us and have it be nuanced and truthful and done some research, I would entrust that with a black woman. I'm sorry, I'm biased that way.
I hear
that's
you.
Just how it is.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and so I thought, let me give it a chance. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Baby.
Mm-hmm. Get it.
So I look at, get on New Orleans. You got New Orleans so fast.
Baby,
let me tell you.
And I just got back last night.
Let me tell you. From the first pilot episode, I was like, this ain't what you've never seen.
I think
seen.
That's why we never tried to sell the show. We were just like, just watch it.
Yeah.
That was legit. Yeah. That was the pitch. We're cool.
I was like, let me, okay. And I thought, okay, y'all can't do it again. Second episode. By the third episode, I went to Amazon Prime.
Right.
I bought the first season.
That part.
And then I put it on my watch list. Like, if the second season comes through, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why. It's this idea that it's the first time I've seen a story that's historical about blackness in America that is speaking truthfully and honestly, and it's giving us complex
and characters. It gives us all sides. There's not just the black narrative side. Yeah.
Because you know how, because last year when that episode dropped, when the natives came, when that side of the family came out and shot them white men up, how many times did I rewind that back up? When I was live tweeting it, I was like, y'all, I didn't have to get the native fam. I'm like, hashtag native, the Batman alert for native folk. Like, y'all, listen, when have you seen that? Like, that stuff really happened, but it's the first time I ever saw it on a show. And I was like,
you were hyped up for two weeks on that.
Look, I was so high. I was like, what? And then the other reason why is because they have black people talking very truthfully about power and privilege, especially among black people.
Yeah.
Those dealing with the color, the old house Negroes. And you never have those honest discussions.
Yeah, you've never seen it.
And having those people, like the lighter skin characters, recognize that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And address it themselves too. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something about yourself, Alano, and your character, Kato.
Who is not a house Negro.
He's not. Your character.
Because you're in the field, right?
I'm in the field.
Yeah, so people always get that twisted.
They do. They always say, the house Negro. I'm not in the house.
This is what I like about the character, because my two favorite characters on the show are Kato and Ernestine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you have the main characters, the love. Especially Aldous.
Aldous.
Look, he done got swole this season.
Yeah.
Look at him. And we have to talk about this.
He was swole season one, bitch.
Wait. There's a lot of nakedness.
Yes.
And a lot of love.
A lot of pause in the TV this bitch. Josh. I say you love.
Listen, it's one of the things I think has always been missing from the TV shows is the black sexuality during slavery times, as if we weren't having sex or having love or having passion. And this season, they really amped it up. And I just thought, oh, shit, that is so real. We've never seen that. But the reason why I like Cato and Erskine so much is because they're two of the most complex and nuanced characters, because a lot of times you see these characters in history and you just think, well, they're just the bad guy and that's all. But you get to see why they are the way they are. And they're the most, for me personally, engaging.
Well, you told that whole, your character told that whole story, like with episode three, about how you became who you were. It was bad.
And every time they come on screen, I'm like, you don't know what's going to happen next, you know. And like I was telling you this morning, you know.
Thank you.
Like the last
that.
Episode,
we're gonna get into you, baby. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on.
No, no, she, no.
Oh, I was working with Queen Steen, baby. No.
and the reason why, and with Clara's character too. If you're watching Underground, y'all, Lana's come in the last few episodes, and she's like, I can't even describe it, because
she was going in this moment.
Listen. When I first saw her character pop up on screen, my first thing was, oh my God, she's gorgeous. Number two, she's coming from like that gullah color. I mean, like, I was like, I was there. I was like having Daughters of the Dust flashbacks. Like, I hope this is a recurring
which I had to watch twice.
You're welcome.
No, it's okay.
Sometimes, because Daughters of the Dust sometimes is kind of difficult for people.
It is. It was a tough one.
It's not an easy one. But it was like, I was so riveted because these are characters who would be so easy for them to be written as caricatures and as stereotypes, but they aren't. And there's a richness to it. And it's really made me rethink how I look at our history in this country in terms of those black people who had to make certain choices. Because I have to admit, for you, Alano, I was pissed off for a couple of times where I thought, you not for us. You're one of them brothers that we should have killed a long time ago. But then I have to remember, generational trauma. People deal with things differently. And the one of the things that physically, of course, with the burning of Cato's character on the side of the face, and there's just certain moments, because you just blow people off the screen anyway.
All the time.
Like, I had to, like
what did you say about his leverages?
Look.
What did you say?
So, the last episode, y'all. Last episode. I know. Here. So, when Cato, look, if y'all ain't caught up with the show, shame on you. You know Lisa's rule. So, when Cato.
They got 1 week.
Listen. When Cato went to England, right? And he got his new little girlfriend and stuff like that. Like, I was praying for the actress, because you were just blowing. Like, every time you're on the screen with somebody, you're just blowing people away. And, like, I was praying for the actress. Like, hold on, sister. Get through the scene. Get through the scene, sis. A little longer, because it's like, I mean, I know in your bio it says this at the very bottom. It's like you're acting on, especially on the show. It's like, it really is. I don't want to say cliche. It is a revelation.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Like, when I see that character, I have to go back and think, because I think about those characters in Caribbean who are known as the Bad Johns. And I think about those characters like the, we talk about the old mythologies about, what's the one, the black dude who has the big hammer. John Henry.
Yeah.
Those kind of, you know, larger than life type characters, to the point where they're like, oh, they're just like these mythical creatures, and they become like magical Negroes.
Right.
Cato's character is just so nuanced and so on point. And even in the first season, when stuff was going down, it's like, I don't think Brugg will make it. And when your character came back, I rejoiced. I'm like, first of all, Brother Man still got a job. Number two.
That's good. You need to talk to me.
Hey,
and
it's
number
true.
Two, you know, we have this character that is really, really complicated. And it's very easy to, like, hate this character. But I can't, I'm a part of me just still roots for him. And as ironic and hypocritical as that might sound, some of the choices he makes, I have to really rethink. A lot of us make choices that are right for us, but aren't right for others. I was really mad at Amir Van's character, Ernestine, when, if you didn't see the show, there was an episode when you got the two moms who had to make some choices.
Yeah.
And the one mom.
You're like, the first person to actually say that. You're the first person. Everyone loves the fact that
she's
not.
Everyone else is like, she got to do it.
When I do it, it's wrong. When Cato does it, it's wrong. But when Ernestine does it, it's. Hey, I understand.
No, and people, look. The sisters on Black Nerves and all that, they had to talk me down. Because I was like, I'm really pissed off at Ernestine. Like, how are you going to kill somebody? And they got, and I realized, they were like, Lisa, put yourself in that position. You got two moms who are trying to do the best for their families. And they're trying to survive in the way they know how. And sometimes somebody got to go. You know, sometimes stuff happens and you got to, like, deal with it. And I was devastated for, like, 3 weeks. And then they started really, like, fleshing out Ernestine, and Ernestine, and I really got it. And so that's why I think like your character and Ernestine are like my favorites, because mm-hmm. it really pushes me to really think about my judgment of other black people when they make choices, not only in the past, mm-hmm. but for those of us right now,
yes.
temporary times.
Right. Yes.
So there's like this complexity, and I have never seen that in you know, historical dramas like this.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that your character lives. So whatever I got to do to keep I will do it. Because this season...
Start that petition.
Oh, my God. This season, he's been doing some things where it was like... Like, literally, I sit with my glass of wine, mm-hmm. and, like, there was times when I was crying, like, with your character, Clara, child, look. Look. When Ernestine, look, if y'all ain't watched the episode, I ain't gonna spoil it for this week, but there's a scene where Clara, one of the plays, who's amazing, where she has to go to Ernestine mm-hmm. and ask for some help mm-hmm. for a certain situation. Mm-hmm. And Ernestine tells her that might not be the way to go. Mm-hmm. And then something happens to Clara's character, and... Like, I was crying. I was bawling. Because I was like, I felt that pain. Mm. And I was like, man, we had it really fucked up back then. Like, yeah. what would I do? Mm-hmm. And so it just really just pushes you to think about in terms of those type of choices. And it's... Anyway, let's get into you guys talking, because I have to lay that foundation
out. I know, like 90 minutes.
I know. it's such a powerful
I'm like,
show.
Where's my popcorn? This is
yes. This is good.
No.
It's like Alana and DeWanda who?
No. and DeWanda, because she's doing something that's even extra, because both of these guys are on like shots fired. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, these character actors are like, they're just banging. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but guess who's playing Nola Darling?
Hey.
Okay.
My baby.
An iconic hey. Role, which my is baby. Important. Yeah. And I mentioned this earlier because she's playing a character in Underground from Clara, who's talking about sexual
right.
agency
right.
and control.
Absolutely.
To a contemporary time, to a character who has some agencies in a polyamorous relationship.
Right.
And I apologize for you, because the men... I didn't want to say no names.
She got a hold of
that. Look. Oh my God.
What?
And Cleo Anthony? Child, listen. Listen. I ain't gonna talk about Anthony Ramos and the rest of them. It's like, are you gonna be on set all the time?
Are we?
Oh,
no,
we already
I've already done. They've already
okay.
shot it.
Were you like hovering nearby?
No.
Okay. I love my wife. Husband MVP of the year last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, no, I, you know, look, I, Spike and I have had conversations. It was very respectful. I trust my wife. My wife knows how to handle herself in all those positions. And the men, I met them.
Yeah. They see how small he is. They know.
The men were very respectful, and we had conversations, and they were just nice guys, and we didn't talk about anything that was like sexuality. I just wanted them to be comfortable, and I wanted her to be really protected right. and comfortable. And that was that. I mean, at the end of the day, I need her to have her space to do what
That's
she
why
does.
You marry a feminist, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean.
You know, who you open the door?
So let's get into Natalia a little bit of their background.
Yeah, sure.
Because I really want to talk about how you guys prep for these roles. One, for you getting ready to do when you're doing Clara. Mm-hmm. And also for Nola Darling and all the other fantastic stuff you've done. And also, we were getting to this earlier in terms of what you had to prepare to play Kato.
Mm.
Man. Okay.
So tell the kids where you're from, how you got into the game.
I am from Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I started acting when I was 15, like a 90s movie cliche. My drama teacher gave me detention for being late to class, chronically late. And my detention was auditioning for The Music Man, and that's literally
really?
How I got into acting. And I got real
both
serious.
Of y'all can say, huh?
Yeah. Got real serious about it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Broke up with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Was like, I'm moving to New York when I graduate. I was super dramatic about it. And that's what I did. I moved to New York. I trained at NYU.
Tish.
Tish School of the Arts.
Yeah, right, girl.
Did a double major with a minor. And I met Alano soon thereafter.
Oh, it was back then.
Oh, back in the day.
Because mm-hmm. that one thing I could tell, as soon as y'all come on the screen, because y'all seen Stellas,
mm-hmm.
is... Because I come from the theater too. I haven't acted in years. I've been on this side of the screen for a long time. But y'all motherfuckers come from theater.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've probably sat in 300 or 400 casting sessions as a producer and stuff.
Right.
I always look for the theater actors.
Yeah. It's,
always.
It's, I mean, especially when you're approaching
there's something. Yes. You know,
work
your
like
body,
Clara.
You understand who
yes.
you are.
I mean, me and the guy who played my father, you know, Keith Arthur Bolden, we both mm-hmm. come from theater backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like to ask actors to jump into that accent. to that kind mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of, the depth of that kind of character work in a do it in a way that's like going to be thorough and collaborative. Yeah. And, you know, we had, thank God, a consult on set in Queen Quet, and she was literally there with Gullah translations. Yes. And we were playing around with how far we were going to go with the dialect and all that. And, you know, it's... it would have been a different Amira too. I mean, that's why Ernestine is so thorough. You know, we met years ago when Alano and Amira did a reading together. So all that New York squad, interesting. For sure.
Yeah, they handle that Gullah dialect. all of we.
And what about you, Alano? What's your story?
I'm originally from Orlando, Florida. I went to a performing arts high school. I started acting actually at a really, really young age. My mom used to make me come downstairs and perform for, you know, guests. And I was doing public speaking. Yes. Yeah, I was doing public speaking at the age of 5. So was doing a lot of motivational speaking and traveling the country doing that. And so that
he
kind
was
of
in the Great Debaters and shit.
When I saw it, I was like, man. but no, I my mom was just a big supporter of the arts. My sister was a ballerina in Atlanta, and so I was introduced into musical theater and to dancing and to acting at a very young age. And then I got to a performing arts high school, and I ended up doing a lot of plays, and I ended up doing Kenan and Kel and stuff like that. And I just fell in love with what it did, you know. And I think at first it was just on a surface level, it was just really about the attention. And then by the time I got to, I went to New York, SUNY Purchase, and I did this play called Not By Bed Alone. And it was a French farce. And afterwards, this young lady came up to me and she said, you know, I haven't laughed like that in a long time. And I just want to say I've been very depressed and have considered suicide. And that actually is what shook me. It was that how important it was and how special theater is, how special this opportunity is to affect lives. And so I got rid of the surface level of it and started to dig deep into what I really wanted. And continued and went to Penn State and got my master's and just started doing work that really mattered to me. So I was very picky in the beginning because everyone said, just take anything. And I said, no, I'm going to be picky the entire time.
And it's really easy to do that. You just want to make that money or make that start. I'm like, I'm going to do this. But that gumption from jump, like, I'm going to be selective.
I really, really wanted to make sure that I was a part of the new, I wanted to be part of the new renaissance, you know, and I wanted to be a part of the new voices. I wanted to support those voices. I wanted us to tell our stories in a way that was significant and powerful and had purpose
and excellent.
Yes. And so I really challenged myself to just be patient and be quiet and sit and do what I needed to do. And, you know, God has led me here and I'm very, very honored.
Thank God, because it's like I'm sitting there every week like, come on now. So how did you get this role on Underground? Because I've seen you some other things, too, because a lot of times you see really good character actors, and you recognize them, and you don't recognize their name, and so when you popped up on
Y'all been around for a minute.
Yeah.
Both of y'all.
Yeah. And I was like, I recognize that face, recognize that acting, and it was the first time I got to see, because a lot of times when you're an actor, you get roles, and sometimes it's like for one episode, and you don't really get to see, and this is the first time I've actually got to see you.
Do it, right?
Do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I literally jumping from Jane the Virgin to this was just like a leap. But it was a good leap. It's what I've always dreamed of doing. I went in for the audition like everybody else, you know, and which is great now to say, but it was like, how many? 400?
No, what? People who went in for Cato?
Yeah.
It was like 1,200.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
well, what do you think you brought?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
I think I brought my light skin self.
Because well, they did. They knew what they wanted.
They wanted him to be fair skinned, and that was a thing that Misha said from jump. And there ain't that many of us.
Terrible.
You know.
Well, but it was like, and then, you know, it was such a thorough process that, and that pilot season was so weird, but he went in and then it was like a month later when they had him back in.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I went in and, and then.
So that tells me they adjusted some things in the script probably.
No, she was, I mean, Misha from Inception said, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, and they just
kept
doing...
they went through the process of seeing more and more people.
That's a black woman for you.
And she was like, no, for real. Yes, I said, this is what I wanted.
And so, I get this phone call. Actually,
I said
funny,
what I said.
I was up for another show, Shades of Blue, mm-hmm. and I made a phone call to my agent and said, hey, you know, talk to me about Underground again. The first time they handed it to me, I didn't want to go in.
Why?
Oh, because it was a slave narrative.
Okay, and I
was
same thing.
See?
Ain't nobody
and I didn't want to do that. I didn't even get a chance to get to the script because at that point, the way they pitched it was like, it's a slave narrative.
I think I read it first.
Yeah, and then I was like, nah. And then DeWanda.
I am not alone. Okay.
And then I was like, I'm good. You know, Shades of Blue it is. No, I'm just playing. No. I'll play it. And then, Shades of Blue for me, I was already upset about it because it was about a young man who goes in and kills a black kid who mm-hmm. was playing a video game that sounds like he's shooting and I thought it was very reckless mm-hmm. in some of the things that they were handling at the time in the inception of it mm-hmm. when we first started. So I was very much at odds with that show. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to make it a comedy. Because in the room,
in that scene,
there's a scene that happens, and I was playing it, you know, very like, this is, I just killed the kid. It's my first day on the job.
Right.
And they were like, isn't it hilarious?
And you're
like,
trauma.
No,
okay. You know, it's not funny.
This is not okay.
Yeah, trauma.
That's not okay. So anyway, so I was already at odds at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I made a phone call to my agent and said, hey, listen, how's Underground? What was going on with that? I know they haven't cast the guy. What's going on? Mm-hmm. So they reached back out. But funny enough, Misha had already made a phone call asking, you know, for me to come back in. So I go back in and she said, I just want you to play, you know, just continue to play with the character. So mm-hmm. I did it a couple times and she was like, great, this is what let's go in for the test. And so I tested mm-hmm. with a couple people and it was with Aldis as well. He had already gotten the part, but we were just doing a chemistry read.
And it was just, I think it was clear. It was like, they're both around the same height.
Yeah. Right?
The juxtaposition is like perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we just had a great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I remember being in the car and them, everyone calling me and saying, mm-hmm. hey, we got some news about Underground. And, you know, they do that whole like, oh, so sorry kind of thing.
Teen agents are on the phone.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so I was thinking, oh, crap, now I got to go in and test for Shades of Blue kind of thing.
Meanwhile, I'm looking up restaurants.
She is. She's already preparing.
In Baton Rouge.
In Baton Rouge. She's already looked up apartments. She's like, no, Alano, like, you're going to get this part. Well, how are we going to live in Baton Rouge? Oh, no.
Black women. Black women. Be knowing, okay.
She knew. She was just like, I don't know what the problem is.
I was like, what are you doing?
That's what she kept doing. I was like, no, there's no way they're gonna give it to me. But anyway, and I got the job, and I just remember being excited and fearful at the same time because I knew what I wanted to present with this character, and I didn't want him to be a villain. Mm-hmm. I didn't want him to be cliche. So I was really nervous because I knew I thought I was going to have a dogfight, you know, with the producers and the writers. And I thought, oh my God, you know, I'm going to sit here and tell this woman and Joe Pekaski that, hey, I don't want him to be the typical character. I think we could do way more and it could be, you know, much more powerful. And funny enough, no, they were on the same page of saying, we want to turn this character upside down and say, nope, he's all these things.
Right.
And
that's see him coming.
Right.
You never see him
and
coming.
And so I started to talk about chess playing a lot because he is a chess player.
Yes.
He's not a checkers player. He's a chess player. And I just love the fact that he's a thinker. He's constantly thinking ahead and he's saying, okay, if I get caught in this corner, I have another corner. And how do I get out of this situation? And so, that was the whole thing. And as I started to play him, you know, you have Anthony Hemingway on set who's directing, and he would say, not here, do it over here. And then I started to say, oh, I see where we're going. And that little by little was, you know, getting into Cato, was starting to understand how he thinks first as opposed to how he feels.
Right.
And I had DeWanda come on set. Because I was like, look, woman, I don't want to embarrass us.
And the one is like, us.
Oh, no, it's definitely us.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to embarrass us. And right now, I'm not trusting that I'm in the right space. And so she came on set or whatever. And I said, you know, just let me know if I'm in the ballpark of what this is, what I'm going for.
Right.
This is where my head is. Is that what I'm playing with right now? And right. So
you guys like just in the trailer practicing, or are you on the?
She's watching. Yeah, watch. And you know, and it was funny because Misha was there on set every day, and she would look over at DeWanda like, "What is this bitch doing?"
She's like, "Did this bitch just get up and say something?" Okay.
Like, did she give him a note? Like, what is she? You know, and you know, and I think that's where it was. It was just making sure, because you can't see yourself. Yeah. You don't know, and it is a bit of trust. But with that, it was, you know, of course I know what I'm playing in the scene, and I know what I'm doing with the other actors, and I'm listening and all these other things. But at the same time, there is something out with Kato that is very specific, and you have to be able to say, yes, that all that playing the scene is great, but there is these little bitty moments that you
have
need,
little beats in between,
that you need to catch, and they're very specific. And if you don't catch them, that
it's a different story.
It just makes it generic, and I don't want to make it generic. Yeah. And that was really kind of how it started until we got to season two, and then Misha and Joe dropped the bomb on me and said, no, we're gonna go darker and deeper, and I need everything that's inside you. And that was scarier. But I mean, Kato from the beginning was a scary character because he asked of things of me that I didn't know if I could give, because his point of view on life, everyone says, oh, he's just, you don't know what he's going to do next. But I think what it is for me is that he's so open and free, and he has no, you know, lane. You know what I mean? He doesn't look at the world the same way as I do. And that has actually opened me up as an actor and as Alano to say, I don't need to have a lane. I can do whatever. You know what I mean? I can take my space, and I don't have to, you know, move out of the way when someone walks towards me. I don't have to, oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry. You know, I can be here, and that is acceptable. And I can be a bold black man, and I don't have to bow or bend or break. And that's what he's...
You know, one of my favorite moments is when the I'm forgetting the character's name, forgive me, but when you get the whip and you get in charge in season one,
yes,
the moment where he embraced, I've been wanting this all my life.
Yes.
Like, I'm willing to not even go with y'all on this trip.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there was such a big, like, reversal change. It was like the day you guys were supposed to leave or some shit, and you were like, no, bitch, I ain't going. You know what I mean?
I mean,
you have those moments. So I'm actually really interested in the fact that you were worried in yourself as an actor about, are you even, you know, performing to the level that you want? And you brought your girl on the set.
Yeah.
Because we don't see it at all.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All I see is, like she said, scene stealer.
Right.
You were so confident on the set or in the moment. You don't know it at all.
Right.
You don't know it at all. But that's good to know that you can trust.
Yeah.
You need that other... Because sometimes you don't know if the director and them are giving you what you think you need. Sometimes
it was the first time working with Anthony. It's the first time working with anybody.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So you're
first
literally...
First series reg.
And so...
A lot at stake.
Right. And just also, I really wanted to pay homage to a man that needed a voice.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, this is a character I knew everyone was going to have feelings about.
Right.
And I didn't want him to be just any old person just walking by. He's so special.
Yeah, he's not a Dave Chappelle character.
Yeah. He's so special, and I think that a lot of people are Kato in many ways. You know, I have so many arguments with people.
Do you get on Twitter going in?
Oh man, I go in on Twitter. If you're live tweeting, I don't play. I have fun. I troll everyone. You got one follower, I will troll you.
You a straight up troll.
No, you know, the thing about it is I say we all have Kato in us, and people say, you know, I'm Noah, or I'm Rosalie, or I'm Ernestine, or I'm this, and I say, no, you're more like Sam. You know, you don't know that, but you're more like Sam. You know, if the opportunity presented itself to you,
you'd be like, I'm just gonna be good, and if I'm just good and excellent, then everything will turn out okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, when it's time for us to all get together and run, you may not be the person. You may stop.
Right.
And get scared and grab that bucket of water and throw it over the fire. And that's really kind of the thing. But I say that we all are, and that we have a little bit of good and a little bit of evil in us. And so we're always at odds with choosing which side to be
on. When it comes to survival, evil comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
But what I like about Kato is it's like he's very clear.
on what it is he needs to do.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times the other characters, like, they're kind of vacillating. I don't know. I don't know. Like, nope. You see Kato, like, he's thinking and he's like, look, I'm already got a plot. Like, y'all plotting this. I'm already thinking 5-6 steps ahead mm-hmm. of you. Like, if this shit don't work out,
right.
how am I going to navigate? And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I realize a part of me is probably that would be the type of slave I would be.
Yeah.
And I'm being very honest. Right. Like, I'd probably be that one to be like, yeah, fuck them kids.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the whole thing too is, you know, I mean, this is a this is a man who has escaped twice. Mm-hmm. You know, he's run twice to get his wife, you know what I mean? And been burned twice. Mm-hmm. And then burns himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that removal of that man, mm-hmm. removal of that, he's in a place where it's like, look, it's just me at this point.
Yeah.
And so getting the people off, even off the plantation, was still about him.
Right.
Shooting Zeke was a life or death situation. Right. That was about him. Right. I mean, that's the kind of man that he is mm-hmm. you make tough decisions, it's gonna be, you know, and say, people say, well, you know, you and Zeke, y'all could have took them together, but that's a 50-50 chance.
So
you know
what I mean? It's so easy to say that.
But when it's like, they will, you know, they will brand Zeke. Mm-hmm. They will kill Kato.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
You know too much.
Mm-hmm. I know way too much. And I've been given too much responsibility. Mm-hmm. So what is there left, right. you know, for this type of man to kill him?
Yeah.
So that, I think for me, that's what's so special about Kato, is that he keeps me guessing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And keeps me on my feet.
So what was the preparation from the beginning to, because now that Kato's, like you said, is going darker now.
Yeah.
What is the preparation for you? I'm telling you. Like, and I'm there with it. Like, you know what? I got to see where this goes. Yeah. Like, a part of me is like nervous, but I want to see, like, you know, second season. What was the preparation that's different from the first season?
I watched the one that knows that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They were qualifying it as, Misha qualified it as the making of a terrorist.
Wow.
Kato, so season two.
I watched a lot of documentaries.
Okay.
I wanted to see how cold someone really can get when they've been pushed to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know why people tick the way they tick, you know? And so it was a lot of research on that. Watched a lot of mass murderers, mm-hmm. things
serial
like that,
killers.
Serial killers, right. things like that.
Thanks, and Netflix.
Plug. No, but I did. I did that. And then I think also, as much as you want to prepare, as much as you want to read, there is nothing that can truly prepare you for what is in store. Because you don't know the scripts. You don't know where they're asking. All they're telling you is, we want you to go darker.
And this is Greek mm-hmm. tragedy work.
Yeah.
You know, when you're training, they say, like, there are just some stories, Shakespeare, Greek tragedy, mm-hmm. that you cannot... There's no as if. There's right. no mm-hmm. what is this like in right. my yeah. life. Thank God. Right. There's yeah, no what no is one. This like to
right.
me.
Yeah. But what I will say is we... What did keep me like all over the place? I was fighting. They had me mm-hmm. practicing as a you know, a fighter, and the hitting mm-hmm. In practice, I could feel there was a difference. I wanted the hits, everything, all of that was kind of a metaphor for what was about to happen, and I could kind of prepare. That kind of mm-hmm. prepared me. Being hit mm-hmm. was preparing me mm-hmm. for something, and I knew it. It's just sometimes in life there are moments in your life that you could be doing something simple and it just picks, you know, mm-hmm. you go, this is what this is, mm-hmm. you know, and it's something as simple as boxing for me was something mm-hmm. that really mm-hmm. ignited Kato, that there's a fight in him, but mm-hmm. then there's going to be a lot of punches that are going to be given that he can't take. Mm-hmm. And how is he going to react to that? And then on top of that, we shot out of sync.
Wow.
So, because Jurnee Smollett-Bell was pregnant. Congratulations.
Cutest baby ever.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Hunter. Oh, my God.
So is she.
Yeah, right. makes right. sense.
Well, I mean, Josiah has something to do with it. but the thing about it was that, so we shot the 1 and 2, right? And then all of a sudden, I skipped to 10. I'm shooting episode 10 now. And I sit out for,
are they
like,
block shooting or something?
Well, no, I had to sit out because we were trying to shoot her out.
Oh,
so I had to sit out for like a month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So I'm just sitting
Did
there.
Did you stay training. In Louisiana?
Yeah, I stayed. Okay. We didn't shoot in Louisiana the second season. Okay. Second season was Savannah, okay. Georgia. So I sat out for a month.
Really?
And that actually allowed me to fester.
Huh.
It allowed me to fester, and it allowed me to be alienated.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not on set.
Right.
I don't know what they're going through.
Yeah.
And it actually built an anxiousness,
yeah.
a frustration, an anger, a sense of like, oh, when I get on set, I'm
yeah.
like,
it
and
did.
It built a type of ferociousness that I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat everybody.
I love it. Don't you love it? I love it.
It really did, because they would come off set and all had, and I was like, yeah. and I'm sitting here and I'm But it did. DeWanda, because DeWanda was working. And so my wife was working. She was already doing Claire and Ernest, because Claire and Ernestine were the whole thing. So everyone had their own thing. And I'm like, and she's coming home like, oh, we killed that scene. It was amazing. And I was just like, you bitches are gonna kill everyone. Like, and then it was funny because the first day I come back to set, you know, Misha comes on set or whatever, and everyone was kind of like, okay, we gotta warm you up to get you ready. And I was like, nope, I'm ready. I'm so hungry. So he gave me that speech. I had a speech where the first thing I did was there was a episode 5 that I had to do where I had to walk down the step and do this whole speech or whatever. And I was just so hungry for every word, every moment, because I hadn't had a chance. And so and he was aching to get out. And yeah, so that preparation was more in the circumstance that I was put in that forced Cato to be where he is.
Man, because that one from last of that one dinner scene you have with Alvin, you're sitting in a restaurant after if you've seen the episode in the restaurant. And Cato's kind of living large.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such an intense scene. It's like, they going to punch each other. Like,
I know.
And you can just see Cato trying to keep it together. And he's like, I got all these people. And I'm just like, hold it together, Cato. Don't embarrass yourself in the restaurant. And then it was just like, you could just see this buildup. And it was just amazing. And I was just that's my shit. Now for you.
The other Cato.
Let's talk a little bit about Shots Fired.
Well, okay. Let's get into that.
Okay. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Since we got her here.
Right.
And our dude is McBetancourt.
Hey, yes, man.
He told me to tell y'all what's up.
What's up?
That's my dude. Matter of fact, I texted him this morning. I said, guess who's coming on the show?
He's like, I'm still waiting for her to do mine, but that's cool too.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what he said right quick.
Oh, shoot.
What, you got?
Oh, shoot.
No, shit.
Hey, Mick.
What
did
he say?
I said, yo, Mick, I'm having your girl, DeWanda Weiss, and her husband, Alana Miller, from the Underground on my podcast today. He says, I said, you know I shout you out. And he said, oh, she's incredible, and so is Alano. Please tell him hello, and I'm so excited for the success.
Oh, thank you.
What's up, Mick?
Hey, Mick.
What's going on?
So give us a little shot of fire. How did that come to you?
She bad.
Shots fired. I had auditioned for 3 roles on that show.
Really?
And Shamika was my cold read. I literally, you know, went out, prepared basically the scene from the first episode and came back in. And strangely enough, I mean, the role originally was written for a woman in her 40s. And, you know, at
this
point...
We know you're 19. We know.
Yeah. 0 children. Dual income, no kids. So, you know, at this point, the first time I had ever met Gene and Reggie, it was Reggie. And it was for Notorious in, like, 2007.
Oh, wow.
So it was this thing where I had... I mean, I've known them for years. At this point, it's been 10 years. I auditioned for that. I was up for Gun Hill, this backdoor pilot he did for BET. I went in for Beyond the Lights. And this was the emotional fit. I mean, I just, you know, I took to Shamika pretty instantly, you know. And one of my best friends from New York just kind of reminded me, you know, right during Ferguson, I was having one of my many crisis of purpose. Because my other major was urban studies, and I've always thought about getting my MPP policy. And so I was going through that especially hard. And she was just kind of reminding me, you know, when I got this, that it was a manifestation of that longing and aching and prayer. So yeah, I went in like everybody else. Didn't hear from them for 2 months.
Wow.
Can I say something? I don't mean to interrupt you. Keep your thought. Here's what it reminds me of, because I talk to actors coming here all the time and ask me questions about shit like this. And I'm always like, look, you go into an audition. Your job, we all know, is to get the part.
Right.
Really, your job is to kill it.
Yeah, your job is to kill it every time.
Because what you do, you may not be right for it. Because like, no, Alana's too tall. They don't quite match.
Right.
Stupid reason you don't get the part.
Oh, for sure.
Stupid reason.
Right.
But you go in, and Reggie's like, we got to bring her back for this other thing.
We have to find the space.
Still not. But we got to bring her back for this other thing. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? They don't forget.
They don't.
I just had to say
they don't.
Because people always think, I'm perfect for this. No, you ain't.
No, you're not.
And that is okay.
But see, I also tell people too, you know, I think what ends up happening and it gets in a lot of actors' ways too, mm-hmm. is that they go in to say, I'm getting this job. Correct. I need to get this job. I need
or
to get this
go,
job.
Or they Wait, go, what do job. They want?
Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm going to become
like,
that.
As opposed to, what does this mean to me? What am I bringing?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like but, trying to.
But sometimes, you know, in this business, you're going to get a lot more. Obviously, we all know you're going to get a lot more no's. Exactly. But to plant the seeds, you're right. To kill mm-hmm. it so that you plant the seeds. So maybe it's not this project.
Correct.
But
if we don't you, forget is what
right,
I'm telling you.
And that's the point. It's like you show up and do your thing. You planted a seed. And eventually, eventually that seed will grow. You just got to keep showing up.
Because we're already going. Episode 3, there's this cool scene where this cat comes in. Alana mm-hmm. will be perfect.
Right.
You don't even know.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay.
No, that was it. It was around the same time. You know, no one knows. It's like the chicken egg thing. But Alana and I had produced this film together.
How to Sell Your Douchebag.
And went to Sundance. Hey. And so I got the offer for Shots Fired right after Sundance.
Oh, really? Like a week after.
Like a week after Sundance. So I don't know if I was Sundance shiny.
I
think it was a little bit of both. Yeah, you know, Gina and Reggie are pretty determined.
Right.
And to my understanding, you know, with everyone in that cast, pretty much, it was like, no, for real, this is who we want. And I know specifically Reggie fought for me with Fox. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as it always, it usually takes a fight for me, which is fine, I guess. But, you know, he definitely, you know, fought and championed for me to play that role. And
can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Shamika is a mother of two. Mm-hmm. One of her sons is killed by police. And it's kind of the...
That happens?
The... Stop trying to get me to cry into this microphone. Okay. And it's kind of the, you know, the center of the story. You have these two mothers, one white, one black, who have lost their children at the hands of the police. And it's kind of like, I don't know how to... what the story device is, but like the bait and switch almost.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it really serves to show... the juxtaposition mm-hmm. of how, you know, their stories and their lives mm-hmm. are handled, you know, by the media, by, right. you know, the police, by everything. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that's Shamika and Gina and Reg, you know, as you know, they're primarily filmmakers. So
I love them.
Their process mm-hmm. was so much like working on a film.
Mm-hmm.
Like we sat down, we went over, the arc. I gave them my like nerdy backstory stuff. They incorporated into the script.
Yeah,
it was, you know, it was such this collaboration, the kind of thing I'm super accustomed to, like working on a play or working on an independent film. So yeah, it was an actor blast.
She did a lot of stuff though. I mean, she did a lot of stuff, which was what I love about my wife is that, you know, she challenges me in many ways of even just how to say, we got to think outside of the box, even on researching a character. Mm-hmm. So she went to San Francisco, right?
Yeah, it was every year Wanda Johnson throws a birthday party for her son, Oscar Grant.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Some of the writers went, didn't they?
Yeah, me and Chris Bythewood.
Mm-hmm.
So we went that year and just, you know, sat in observation and the things, the like through lines of that experience, a lot of it came from that trip, that experience, and reading Leslie McSpadden's book because she's the only mother so far. Actually, I think, I want to say Trayvon's father just wrote a book. But she was the only mother up until that date who had written anything that wasn't like an article.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah.
Damn.
Shamika.
Because you've been doing everything like, what were you saying? Like, it's like within like a 3-month period, like you've been like, fun around, shots fired.
So it was basically, it was like, it was shots fired, and then Underground came. Right. And while she was shooting Underground, she's gotta have it. And had to go shoot She's Gotta Have It, and on the weekends come back and shoot Underground.
On the weekends?
Yeah, yeah, because she wasn't available. She was working, and that was her, you know, she's number one on the call. She can't just walk off the set to go shoot Underground.
Yeah. I worked a literal 2 months straight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do a Spike Lee show, he takes up your weekend.
They had a whole
FYI,
party for her.
FYI, in case anyone's wondering how that works out.
They did a whole party for her. What was it, 40 days or something straight? 42 days straight. It was amazing. Like, my baby has been putting in work, you know. And to watch her soar has been, I think, It's done my heart good because for so many years I've
both
been
both of you guys at the same time.
Yes, but
like, I'm getting teary eyed. Yeah.
No, but just damn, but just to watch her, I've known how brilliant of a woman she is as an artist, and so there are so many people. What
it's just funny because you know Alana Wood, he would definitely be like, "Oh, my wife," and just like it was like that crazy guy.
He's proud of you.
Who's just like talking
like,
about
each other's best height.
You can see it.
It's so weird though when you
and everyone's like, "Okay,"
but
okay,
if you,
okay.
It's so weird because I'm like, look. It's so weird because when I say like, you know, no, she's bad. She's amazing. Like she's probably one of the baddest chicks, you know, kind of thing. And then they go, yeah. You know, that's really nice. That's really nice. And I'm like, no, seriously. Dude. Like, don't ever.
Don't play yourself.
When I say something to you, I don't give props for props.
Right.
For, you know, I don't do that. If I like what you do, I'm saying this to you out of genuine respect and love, appreciation. And I'm saying that to my wife. She and I both say this every time. We don't respect each other as far as artistry. We're like, we're not going to be married. Like, it's just, like we both had to see each other's work to be like, okay. I mean, it's just one of those things, but to see her do this, I mean, to see her first off in 3 months to play three different characters from three different places, I mean,
time periods.
And time periods and all those things. Okay. I go, this is.
Lace fronts.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Choices.
Come on, I want a red wig and she dyed her hair red for underground and then to go back and be like, no, I want these. It was just a lot. I mean, but to have that kind of point of view and to have that kind of, you know.
The video, Dewanda, I see you, baby.
Yeah, I go, this is what we signed up for. Right. This is the part that, you know, we, not artists, don't get a chance to do. And so we definitely don't take it for granted for being in this moment. And so I look at her and I go, please soar. Please keep climbing.
Right. Here's an interesting thing. You think about it. Because, like, you know, I'm working, I don't know if you know, I just wrote the Black Wall Street movie, right?
What?
Oh, yeah, I got some shit for y'all.
Oh, you know I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
So, anyway, we'll talk. And so Tripp, you know, trying to get, you know, actors attached and all that other bullshit.
Right.
Everybody's super duper duper busy.
And it's crazy.
So you see, when you get to the level where you guys are at, you see why they get busy. Because you go back to back to back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You guys don't even have time anymore to do anything. So we're trying to work our schedules around the y'all motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're like, well, we might shoot then, but Alano's, you know, he's going to be on my
element.
You know what I mean? So you see why.
Yeah.
Once you get busy, first you don't understand.
It's true.
But then you start to understand once you start working all the time.
Right. But even then, I think, you know, what's so interesting is that it is for us, even now at this point, we go, what is the next thing? Not to just feed our soul, but what is the next thing? Where is the next place in our, not career, but in our lives? Like, where are we right now? And how do we jump into that world? And how are we to just take the next job or do so that we can look like we're still working? Or do we continue to do things that are meaningful to us?
And I had to call Gina for permission to do, she's got to have it because I was under contract for Shots Fired.
That makes sense.
And, you know, she congratulated me and she was just like, keep yourself special. Best advice of 2016.
Yeah. Right?
We got to get another t-shirt. I like that.
Keep yourself special.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But what I love about your work is, like you said, it's special and you're so different in every single role. Like literally when he said, she was like, I was like, that's her on Shots Fired.
Right.
Because that's my mom's show. Shots Fired is my mom's show.
Yeah.
And I came home on the weekend. My mom's like, you want to come see this episode? I said, wait, I have to see the one before that. I can't just come in and watch stuff late.
Yeah,
out of order. I got to like, and so my mom's like, okay. And I said, oh, by the way, you know, that actress, we've been talking to your podcast show. Oh, really? And I said, yeah. And then I looked, I'm like,
is it?
Is that Claire?
Is that Claire? Claire is 20. Shamika's 34.
Yeah. Hey, you make it work. And like I said, and you're just stunning. Like, I'm not talking about just gorgeousness and just gorgeous, but just like your presence. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, when I saw you underground, like the first shot, you're not speaking, you're just sitting there, and I'm like, what?
You know what's funny? I think Jamie Foxx calls it that. Fairy dust.
Yeah.
No, because you'll see actors on a show, and you know, there's some gorgeous people on the ground and actors, but you're just something that camera was resting. I was like, okay, there's something there, you know, and let me see what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's a complex character. It's a character where, you know, you're kind of being like the next Ernestine, where you're trying to use those skills, where you're trying to use that, where you have no sexual agency, you have no control of your body, but then you're like going to manipulate, well, what can I control in that? Which I think is fascinating for something from a historical perspective and jumping forward now, doing Nola Darling. Because those of you who don't remember, okay, for you babies back there who don't
they're
remember,
like, she's got a what? What's
who don't remember that movie? And how pivotal this movie was. like, we had never seen anything like that. One, it was like the start of the new, you know, renaissance of like indie black filmmakers. Yeah. And stuff. And that, I mean, first of all, it was shot in black and white.
I was about to say, that's the one that's in black and white, yeah.
Number two, it's about a black woman who is sexually free. Mm-hmm. We ain't never seen nothing like that. Yeah. And if we did see something, it was always that kind of trope where something negative was attached. You use a hoe,
yeah,
you know, a hooker. Mm-hmm. But for a black woman to be like, I got several dudes.
You're welcome.
To work it out.
Right.
And I got my life, and I'm doing my thing, and it's a polyamory, and they all know about each other. Mm-hmm. Deal.
Yeah.
You know? That was like a revelation. I mean, years later, it's funny because when I first saw it, like, I was like young and in high school, and it was just like, first of all, a black woman in Brooklyn looking fabulous.
Right.
And
our whole life.
And a chocolate sister just looking gorgeous. Because we didn't, come on now, the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
With them Eddie Murphy movies, all the actresses that came out.
Everybody.
I mean, like, both, but you said the 80s.
Yeah.
Both Misha and Spike had to be like, I said chocolate.
Yes.
Both Misha and Spike.
Yes.
Had to be like, when I said chocolate, I meant chocolate.
Right. And not only that, from the original Nola Darling, the hair, like that was a huge thing. Because if you all remember the 80s, it was like big hair and we were starting to get the extensions and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it was like to see a black woman with agency and just being sexual. Like I said, I was in high school when I saw that. It was like, God is good.
Good for your parents.
We had
Imani Walker on, the creator of Rebel, and she was talking about when they did the breakdown, she wanted in the breakdowns that the star of the show had to have
you have to these days.
What did she say? Normal hair? What you
natural.
Call it?
Natural hair.
You have to specify.
Yes. You have to specify.
And I have to say, I was excited. I had to put it down, download my phone with a picture of you, the original Nola Darling. That picture is so cute. I'm going to frame that.
Okay.
It's so cute. Because number one, you guys do favor one another.
We met, and she was just like, oh my gosh, I won't cry. All right. Tracy Camilla Johns is like, oh my goodness, I was just like, I was just hoping you were nice. Hmm. And I was like, well, I was hoping you were nice.
That's cute.
It was like such a big thing. And like I said, for you to play that role and bring that, I mean, it's a different time now.
Yes.
And so it's going to be really interesting to be able to see that story in Nola's, her arc now. It was 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And being sexual,
right?
Being gorgeous,
right?
And having ownership of that sexuality. Because one of the things I don't get to see, and I think what I love about Underground, because Underground is not playing with the sexuality.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't.
We don't get to see it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about the show when it comes out, because, you know, we're going to be live tweeting and drinking like, yes, do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just, I mean, for you, what was it like to play a character from Underground where it's like, okay, I gotta deal with this white dude. And I have to ask you this.
Oh my gosh, what?
No. You don't have to answer because I don't want to be embarrassing. Because I was watching the scene. Okay.
Good luck with this one.
No. Listen. So when your character Clara decided, all right, I'm gonna use this white dude.
Everybody gather around the fireplace.
Gather around the fireplace, kids. There was a scene where, okay, Ernestine says, I'm gonna go do this and I'm gonna make this man do whatever. And like, there's a scene where Clara's having sex with the guy. And then she's done.
Uh-huh.
Did she or did she not? Because this is what I saw. And I
uh-huh. Nope, you're right.
You're right.
You caught it.
She was masturbating.
She self-pleasured herself.
Yeah.
Huh.
Bitch, when have you seen that?
Okay, let me get
and a narrative. No, I can't. That's because that's
the thing is, we always think of these tragic stories of these women who had to have sex with these slave dudes. And we just didn't have no sense of sexuality or a yearning or a wanting or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when she does that, like, I was like, Did I see that? Was that in the script or was that something you
totally
added?
In the script.
Okay.
Absolutely in the script. Okay. I feel like when I was filming it too, I did like one of those like lick your finger numbers. And Misha was like, you know, it's not historically, you know, it's not a thing. I was like, you're right.
This is the extra for the DVD.
Yeah. I think I was already filming Nola by that point, so
you're in a different
headspace. Come back with all the different headspace.
Whoop, wrong set. Wait, that's not Spike up there,
my bad.
But no, but just from that, and I don't know, I'm just really excited for what you've done. Like, I mean, I know you can't give any giveaways.
Yeah, I know.
But is there a lot of beautiful shots of black love sex?
It's so beautiful.
We don't know. Yeah. Come on.
We don't get to see that. Shadow and that keeps asking that question, right? That's like, you know, where's the black erotica?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where's, and it's so true. I mean, we don't even kiss. It's crazy.
It's true.
It's crazy.
And when we do see it, it's usually, because you know the feminist in me, mm-hmm. it's always like yes. the male gaze, yep. what it is, and yep. we never get to see like the expression of pleasure from right. women. It's if, oh my God, seeing a woman have an orgasm, I'm like, we can't see that. Yeah. But we see the men all the time. It's like, well, why can't we have that?
It was such a huge deal for She's Gotta Have It. You know, one, Spike is immensely collaborative. Like, I choreographed a lot of those scenes. Mm-hmm. And I knew the DP from years ago. We met mm-hmm. doing a short in like 2007, mm-hmm. first time. So I, you know, there was a lot of control on that set, and
that's important.
Many women in the writer's room, many. Hmm. Two-time Pulitzer Prize winning Lynn Nottage.
Yes.
Issa Davis, Rada yes. Blank. I yes. mean, we had some bad sisters.
Lemon Anderson in there.
Yeah.
Poets. I mean, so, they're just
bringing
it's
it.
Gonna be fire.
Which I think was very important because, you know, when she first got the job, I remember, okay, so I'm going to keep it real. So, 2017. Okay. No, so she got the job, or they called her. Well, first she auditioned for it.
Where were you when you got when you got the call?
Oh, that's such a complicated story.
Is it? Okay.
And I'll tell you in a second.
Right. No, so no, we go tell it together. Okay, it's okay, because I'll tell you my point of view and you tell
okay, me. Okay, good.
So, no, she says, I'm going to go in for, you know, She's Gotta Have It. I was like, nah.
Wait, was that a Nas? And that's never going to happen.
No, like, no.
Nah, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Like, what's good with that? Like, no, we're not doing that right now. Like, not doing that right now. Not now.
Wait, the hand clap. Damn. He is doing the clap.
So, okay. So she goes to New York or whatever, because I forgot what it was for, but it was for something else. And so she
Urban World, I
want to
say?
Yeah, okay. And then she ends up going in for the audition for Spike or whatever. And then she goes in for the audition, and... You tell this part.
Well, I already taped it.
Right.
So he said no, but he still taped me.
Yeah, I still taped her because I still love her.
And we're friends, which is also very important.
Yeah.
Be best friends. So I'd already taped it. You know, I went to New York for my director session with Spike. It was a Monday. And I'm in my director session. I got like 7 out of the 20 pages or whatever of sides. Mm. So we get to the sides I don't have, and I was like, I don't have that.
Mm.
And so me and Spike, we go, we sit outside, and we start to have this conversation because I'm at this point, here's the things I had. I'm under contract with Shots Fired.
Mm-hmm.
I was still filming Underground, and they were slated to begin like the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, I haven't actually had this conversation with my husband
really?
Because it became very clear that he was like, well, when he was like, do you want to do this? I was like, you want to cast me as Nola Darling. This is just like right. a fun acting exercise right.
yeah,
that I'm doing right now. And so he asked me that, and we had a serious conversation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I hadn't had this conversation with my husband, and I don't know if my marriage can withstand this.
Mm.
And so I literally walked away.
Wow.
Mm.
Walked away, hopped back on a plane, questioned my life choices. Felt better
cried
once
a little
I got.
Tears.
Caught a little tears. Cried some thug tears.
Uh-huh.
Got back to Baton Rouge, and I spent like the next couple of days being like, just, you know, mourning. Yeah, I had like zero life regrets up until this point. And I was like, did I make this choice? Why did I make this choice? And it was two people, one of my managers and my very close friend, our best friend, mm-hmm. Kimberly Dalton Mitchell, now Kimberly Dalton Chalk, who was like, it's going to come back around. And next thing you know, I have like missed calls on my phone.
Wait. So she comes home.
So when did you talk to him?
See, right. So she comes home after this, and I'm like, hey, babe, how you doing? Da, da, da.
And I was like, sad.
Yeah, she was crying. And I was like, yeah, she's crying and stuff. And I'm like,
sad,
why
but I love you.
She's like, I'm like, why are you crying? Like, you just got in. What happened? And she's like, you know, everything. And she's telling me, and then she goes, you know, I turned down the role or whatever. I walked away. And I was like, wait, what? And she goes, yeah, I walked away from the audition. And then, of course, I'm like, in my head, I'm going, why would you do that? Like, in my head, I was like, why would you do that? You're already there. You might as well do what you need to do. You know what I mean? And if you get this role, then we'll deal with it. But I mean, I was telling you how I felt. I didn't know if I really meant it. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really know if we mean what we say. I was just saying, like, no, I don't want you to do this. Because I'm insecure at this moment, but not really meaning like turn down a job. So she tells tells me, and a part of me, so I'm at odds, okay? Like, Kato, I'm at odds. I'm like,
new information,
yes!
People.
Okay. A part of me is like, this. Yes. And then a part of me is like, why would you do that? Like, and so, you know, so then she, you know, I get a phone call, and the phone call comes, and she sees that she has missed calls or whatever, and it's actually casting director. Casting director's like, hey, I just gave you a phone number to Spike Lee. Spike calls.
Text.
Mm-hmm. Sex.
Like, hey, hit me back.
Yeah.
Damn.
This is Spike.
Real, like, all, like, what?
Like, oh, I always had your phone number.
Yeah, like, oh, right, Spike is calling me. Like, you know, no, so that happened. Then his wife calls as well. Right, and they're literally, like, pitching this really? Thing. Right. And the thing, I guess, what switched it for me was, so, okay, no disrespect, Spike, I love you to death. Mm-hmm. But the reality was, like, I didn't know if I trusted Spike Lee at that point for writing it. You know what I mean? Right, to say what it is about
20-something,
you know, this isn't this. And so he said, well, look, I have 10 episodes already, you know, I already have the scripts, and he gave them to her.
Right.
And so,
yes.
Wow.
So before she accepted it. So Dewana's reading it and talking to me at the same time about what's happening, and we're going through it.
We went over the nudity writer together.
Yeah. And we did everything. And so for me, I was like, no, you, and it was at one point, so here's the funny thing. So I was like,
it's funny now.
Yeah. So it's definitely funny. It's definitely funny now. So at one point, we were like, okay, you, this is great. Good. We're good. Yes, absolutely. We should take this role. So then I'm driving.
No, and this is funny then.
Okay. She goes to the office because we were at Underground still, whatever. And I'm like, Dewanda, call me back. Call me back, Dewanda. Call me back. And then she doesn't pick up the phone. Dewanda, call me back. Call me back now. Jesus Christ, you always get your phone on you. Now you don't got your phone. So she's like, I said, we need to talk. So we go and we go to this little parking spot or whatever. And I'm like,
Pulls over.
Real dramatic. I'm like, God told me you shouldn't do this job. Yeah. And I was like,
that's what he said.
And then she goes,
and I take a pause and I said, well, God didn't tell me that, Alana.
And I go.
Yes.
I go. Wait, I go. I go. Okay. Okay. Yes. I hear that. And she's like, I really feel like I need to take this job. And I'm like, uh-huh. And I'm like, she's like,
you have an out of body experience.
Yeah, seriously. And she's like, you know, this comes down to trust. And so she goes, do you trust me? And I go, yes, absolutely, I trust you.
He's always said that too, like, I trust you, I don't trust these other motherfuckers.
Yeah. Okay. And so we had it. So then we talked about it some more or whatever. And I just was like, I was at a place where I said, you know what? You know, these opportunities don't come often. Mm-hmm. My wife is an extraordinary artist, mm-hmm. and human being, and I know that she will run shit. You know what I mean? Like, you put her in charge, mm-hmm. she will take care of business. Mm-hmm. So I had to step away.
And I had to remind him that, like, you know, in the context of our marriage, I'm an introvert. So 9 times out of 10,
Well, y'all just look like it.
I'm just like, you know, I don't have to boss up with my husband. Right. So he never sees that. He never
aspect
sees that
of
aspect right. of me. He never sees that part of me.
Right.
But in 98% of my life, you know, when he's not around, I'm like, no. Yeah.
But also the thing about it was what the question wasn't if our marriage could take it. Mm-hmm. It was more so about if we were willing to go on the journey together and be open and say, you know what? There's these moments in life where you get there that may shaken you, but doesn't shaken your relationship, mm-hmm. doesn't shaken our thing. It took the bearings, like, okay, we're doing something new and this is going to be a different set of circumstances, challenges. Yeah. They could be challenges or they could not be challenges. It depends on how you approach it.
And are you going to allow it to grow?
Right. And so we were like, well, this was an opportunity for us to grow as human beings separately and as a marriage. Definitely. So we took a different approach to it. So she goes on set and she calls me or whatever, and she's telling me, you know, daily or whatever. And so I found myself not just being encouraged, but I found myself rooting for her.
I mean, we got to the point where we were like sharing
right. sex mixes.
Yeah, like, because like, we had
this is what I play.
Yeah,
on
well, I was like, well, like, your sex mix ain't shit. Like, if you're gonna do it, you're gonna have to do way better than that. Throw some Genuine in there. So I was like, you know. So it got to that point where we were like talking about it and just also reminding ourselves how awkward this is, and this is not, you know, and it wasn't about being real. But people tend to fall in love with my wife, which is what it was really about. So I was like, look, y'all brothers, I just don't want y'all to be like, no, but we are meant to, because people, they take acting and they like, oh, my life is real, and like, it's not. Yeah. So
she really want me. She really
she don't want you, dude.
Let me stop you right now, bruh.
But, you know, and I think in actuality, you know, looking back at it, I go, wow, I'm honored that I went through this process with her and that we went through this journey together, because it did make us stronger. Not and make us more, you know, open to being vessels of the work. And it did. It challenged us and it kept us growing as a couple, and it made us more, I think, best friends to go through that together. And now we do. We look back at it and we laugh at the process. And,
I'm like, I almost turned down that job.
Yeah. And I was like, and I said, God told me not to let you do it. And I do. And I'd be like, God. Like, and I told her one day. No, funny. I did. I told her one day. I was like, I got something to tell you. And she was like, what's going on? I said, God didn't tell me. I was like, that was just me.
That was just me reaching
anything I could. I was like, I hid behind some bull, and that was it. So, yeah. But it was.
You pulled God out.
You know, that's your last, like, you know, you got, it's like a, it's a Hail Mary. It's the final shot at the buzzer. Like, if I could get this one last thing, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
I had a meeting with Peter, Paul, and Isaiah. And if you open your books to Ephesians, wow. God says right here, thou shall not be Nola Dara.
Preaching now, Mama.
Tell it, Pastor.
No. But, you know, it does. It allows you to get out of your way and really and trust. And it's been a beautiful thing to be in at this point.
Yeah.
That's good.
You guys are doing
I see the love.
Yeah, I know. I love it when couples are like their own hype together. Because it's amazing. And the fact that you guys are both extremely talented.
Thank you.
And I mean, as far as being like wonderful character, like I would love for you guys to be superstars, but these characters that
I
you guys
am with
play,
you.
Hey, keep bringing that work, because it's a joy to watch both of you. Like you on Atlanta.
Thank you.
One of my favorite episodes, you know, and just you
sit around our round table.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's funny though, because you know, when Donald Glover, he was like, yeah, you know, I really want to go for this Don Lemon type of thing. And I kept being like, okay, all right, let's go for it. Let's play around. Let's do this thing. And just to see him, he was directing, and I just, to be in that space with him, he is such an extraordinary artist and such a quirky artist and just such a giving artist. And Duana and him went to school together. Yeah. And we all knew each other. Like, it was just to see us, you know, we talk about like, who's your group, you know? So you got the Denzel Washingtons and everybody kind of coming up together. And I go, if you're part of that upcoming group, you know, you're in the right place, you know, whether you're doing, you know, everything you want to do, but you're in that space, just keep digging, keep growing together
and finding your tribe
because it's really true that we all can rise together and there's enough space for all of us. It's not about, well, you know, he stole that job or he did this. No. That was his job or that was her job. You know, you have your set of stuff. It's coming, but it's very specific. And don't be afraid to be specific in your journey. You know what I mean? What you want, as opposed to just saying, I want everything or I just want to do anything.
Well, trip this, because I mean, I've been on the Black Community of the Writers Guild for a long time. And I've watched over the last like 5 years in particular, it was like 8 of 9 of us on the committee.
Right.
Now it's like 60 or 70.
Ooh, wow. Amen. That's beautiful.
Because so many writers, we talk about this all the time, have become staff writers, right? Like Ben Corey Jones.
Yeah, Ben, yeah.
Him and Lena, you know, like totally blowing
up.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you're talking about that pack of people that you have, you know, Issa and Amy, you know?
Yeah.
Like all these people are like blowing up all at once.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just amazing to see how everybody's now is just like,
yeah.
Boom.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And you got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be compelling, which is your favorite.
Yeah.
Word.
It's like, and the stuff that they're bringing is really compelling. Like, cause you know how hard it is. Like, you know, I'm a film. I'm a cinephile.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to watch TV because there's not that much good TV. But if you got me watching TV show, bitch, if you got me paying money, that's what I'm to buy a whole season before the season even shows up, you know I'm a fan, you know? And it's just, it's just amazing. And the stuff, like, all the stuff you guys have been in has just been, like, phenomenal, you know? And it's like this new renaissance of, like, blackness just, well, you know, I think blackness is wonderful anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just so much content that's coming out that just... freaking amazing.
So the argument becomes, you know, what are we willing to watch and what are we willing to support? And I'd say, you know, look, at the end of the day, people say, you know, black people, they don't sell and all this other bull, whatever. And but we are the biggest consumers, and we spend, you know, something like $1 trillion or more a year. And the reality is that, you know, if you spend $300 million on a film, right? If it sucks, it sucks. People aren't watching it because it sucks. Yeah. If it's good, it's good. Mm-hmm. And no matter what color you put in front of it, if it's good, it's good. Yep. And we have to continue to do that. We have to say, look, we need to do exceptional work. We need to do the work of excellence, as opposed to just, you know, scraping the bottom of the the bottom of the barrel just because we know that, like, oh, if we put A, B, and C
it
in
it,
it will be consumed.
We can't take it for granted.
We can't take it for granted. If you want the Renaissance, if you want to continue to challenge audiences, if you want to continue to sharpen one another, if you want to continue to build up a community where we say, no, we expect this type of thing, then you have to continue to put that type of content out there. And so when there are those mindless type of shows or movies, I'm not saying they don't deserve to be there, because they have valid space too.
Sure, right.
But I just think we need to have a balance. And so that balance isn't always there. And, you know, there's only, you know, Moonlight that comes out once every year, you know what I mean? Or whatever, or something Ava DuVernay is doing, or whatever. But the reality is that we just need more. There need to be 20 or 30, you know, Moonlights or, you know, and there needs to be.
Yes. So I was going to interrupt you. So I was just telling Lisa, so we I'm the vice chair of the black community, right?
Right.
Also the black vice chair of the gay community. But anyway, so shut up, bitch.
Be it.
But look, hey, I'm just busy. So look, the, 2 years ago, we started doing these NAACP Image Awards.
Right.
Right. So I moderated, me and Ben moderated the first one like 2 or 3 years ago. Fast forward a couple of years ago, this year we had Barry on the,
Barry.
Panel.
Yeah.
So Barry comes up to me after and he says, I don't know if you know this or not, but I actually was in the audience 2 years ago.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. When you guys first started, I was like, what? Like, give me, you never know who my fuck is going to be.
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's his trip.
So. Yeah.
And Barry and I go back from Florida.
That's right.
So Rael McCraney and I did his plays. Yeah. And so he was at in Miami and I was in Orlando, and we had what they call competing schools for the arts. And so Terrell and I know each other for that long, since high school.
And Barry was also Darnell Martin's assistant.
Darnell Martin's assistant.
Call our auntie Darnell. We worked on Firelight back in 2011.
So, I mean, the circles of how you're connected to people are very real. And they all have, everyone has had, I mean, and then you have Brian Tyree Henry, who's in Atlanta, who he and I did, you know, brother sister plays together Terrell. Yeah. So, and then, you know, then Donald Glover and DeWanda. So it's just the groups are real. Yeah. And we invite. It's not like, you know, exclusive. We want to invite others to join this group to say, hey, we want to make space, which is why we produce.
Right. That's
we're not
to get into.
Yeah, we're producing not to, you know, that vehicle was that DeWanda and I made a deal, which was not really a deal. It was just had each other's
an
back.
Understanding.
Okay.
That whatever happens, whoever got the first whatever, we would take that money and then we would invest it in the other person.
Smart.
And so we had a friend that went to school with her to hear Jeter, and he was a brilliant writer director coming out of NYU.
Gotcha.
And so he had already done some shorts that went to Sundance, and so he presented this, you know, this comedy.
Yeah, this micro budget.
Right.
So we could film it over the summer.
Yeah. Right.
I said, yes.
Right. And DeWan is the lead. So I go, absolutely. Now, in that, we were saying, like, you know, we wanted to find, you know, the right casting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really have a casting director or anything like that.
Yeah, we brought in, you know, William Jackson Harper, who I'd known from.
Who now has his own show on NBC.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, we basically just kind of used our own resources. Mm-hmm. So we put some money together and we invested in this movie. And I knew once I read it, and I knew DeWanda, and I knew that, you know, William Jackson Harper were going to be attached to it. I said, oh, this is about to be, you know, dope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it goes to Sundance. Both of us weren't surprised. We were like, okay, it's possible.
Yeah, no, I mean, when we were pitching it to agents, you know, we were like, you know, gathering talent.
They didn't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. We said, and then we're going to go to Sundance.
And they didn't.
Everybody yeah. said that's why.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but we were like, no, but we're really going to Sundance. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know you all, you know, blah, 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 blah. But we, you know, we have intentions. We know what we set out to do. So we did that. And the whole thing was like, oh, don't you want to be in Alano? Don't you want to be the other lead? Or this is, and I said, no, look, when we create, it's not about you always starring in something. No. Mm-hmm. It's about you
know
being
your lane.
Right. Yeah. But also at that time, I was like, look, this is an opportunity for another artist to come in. This right. is an opportunity for us to bring people that need to have a voice and have space right. in the world. And so it's just because you produce something or you know, you may love the project, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's just not the right thing yeah, at that
sometimes
time.
Sometimes just put your name on it and keep it moving.
And you could yes. do more damage sometimes that yep. way than just being in it. Right. You know what I mean? Because right. then it's still self-serving. And yep. so at this point, it's about my wife. So we're going to support her. We're going to support this new writer-director. We're going to mm-hmm. support these new artists and we're going to make sure
and
that they get
And it was literally
forward.
Integral. I mean, you yeah. know, I always tell this story, but She's Got to Have It didn't exist in a vacuum. It was literally the writers in the room had seen me in a play
yep.
from 2013, a Dominique Morisseau play.
People don't forget. Mm-hmm.
Who is now a writer
who
as well.
Who is now a dope-ass writer.
On WGA,
writer.
Yeah.
And so the writers had seen me in that, and the execs from Netflix saw How to Tell Your Douchebag.
Really?
And they were both Brooklyn women.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
And so everyone was in Spike's ear like, no, for real, we know who your Nola Darling is. Mm. And that's... That was like the bedrock okay. of that, how that happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we're on this, you know, Dewan and I have always been on the search. We're always on the search for the next whatever. And so now we do have another project. It's called Truth of Miss Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to shoot that Good. This year. Mm-hmm. And it's a new writer, director, yes. same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Bennett. And Dewan is starring in this one.
I just don't read a lot of things I like a lot. I mean, yeah. that's part of it. But, and that's, I mean, it's. I feel like it's changing.
Yes.
Like there's more that I read that I'm like in love with, mm-hmm. but there's a whole lot that I'm just like, not for me.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about it is I told Dee, you know, I said, babe, you know, the things that you desire to do, sometimes they're going to be few far in between. And you are going to have to continue to create your own space. All right. of us are.
Right.
You know, if we're going to not have this vicious cycle that happens with, you know, black film and television, which is we exist for a good 5, 6, 7 years and then we go away and
20.
Then we come back and then we're like, and then they're like, black people are in again. And we're like, we've always been in. And they're like, well, where have you been?
We got to stop the cycle.
Right. We have to literally set roots this time. Yeah. And we have to, no, seriously, yes. we have to set roots yes. and make those things stick yeah. this time.
Yeah.
And so this time around, it's like, I hope that we are inspiring other people to say, we're going to write, we're going to create, we're going to find our village and mm-hmm. get around those people to help us push forward. And so this new film that we're doing is drastically different. It's not a comedy, but it is... one that I think is going to be very special to a lot of people, and hopefully, you know, if it gets to South by Southwest or something like that, that's mm-hmm. great. But we're not making it to we're getting it so that we can affect people. Sure. You know what I mean? And also right. give artists voice.
Exactly.
We are giving new artists people mm-hmm. some people have never seen before, and at the same time saying, hey, you all are saying that we don't exist. You know, that there's not
or
enough
that you
black
can't
craft
find stories, right. and we're like,
but also that there's not enough artists that actually are good. You know, everyone has to be from England, and that's fine too. Yeah. I love those brothers and sisters too. Good for you.
But good for them.
The
problem is a lot of people ain't like you two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, if more people were trained like you, motherfuckers, they'd be getting cast.
It's true.
But they come in taking a couple cold scene classes, thinking,
and they're like, I'm ready.
You know, but but for all those brothers and sisters who are in the trenches and yes. that are coming out and mm-hmm. trying to, you know, find their space. And everything else, we're trying to invite them in. Mm-hmm. And so you have the Viola Davises who have started mm-hmm. their own companies and they're trying to do the same yeah. thing. And with Diara Kilpatrick and all of them. And so, right. And so we are trying, there are more voices mm-hmm. that are saying, no, we know some cold artists
right.
and we want to help them get their mm-hmm. place. But I get annoyed when I hear, you know, I don't know any black actors. I don't know any good black actors. I don't know any, you know.
We get it from the writer's side.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. Yeah, right. But so I say, okay, cool. So what we're going to do then is mm-hmm. create these things so mm-hmm. that we can show you that there are more Barry Jenkins out yep. there. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, more Turow McCraney's right. and his writers. And there are more Denzel Washington's yeah. out there and Viola Davis's. Right. There are multitudes. And you're not cultivating us, exactly. which is why there's these huge gaps. And you only got two brothers, John Boyega and Michael B. Jordan, exactly. who are young. And then we exactly. fast forward and we exactly. the leap
Denzel.
To Denzel and Morgan Freeman. You know what I mean? And I go, and then Samuel Jackson. Jackson plays all the roles. And I ain't mad at that either, but but you know, my thing is I go, no. You have to, if you want to see the next Will, if you want to see the next Chiwetel, if you want to see the next Jeffrey Wright, if you want to see those artists, the Don Cheadles, then you have to cultivate them and you have to give them, put them in positions. And you know, and we as actors also need to be in the writer's ears. We need to be trying to collaborate. We need to throwing out our ideas as opposed to saying, you know, it's our thing and this is what we do. Right. No, we need, it's a community. Right. And I think we'll be in a better place. I'm not going to say we're going to fix it, but we'll be in a better place.
Yeah, definitely. Well, then you understand you're needed. You're not just, you know, they're just actors.
Right, exactly. Right.
You know, just say the lines.
Right, right. Exactly. Right. It's a different, I mean, it's different. When you like never, when you've never come from that, and I've never come from that, I mean, I came back to change my hair for Clara and I got the set and Misha was like, did you change your hair color? And the concept of like asking permission for a character choice never crossed my mind.
Really?
It never crossed my mind because, you know, I'd always come from this place of like extreme trust from the people that I collaborate with.
Right.
Like I'm 2,000% here for the story that we are telling, you know? And yeah, you know, I was like, oh, right, my bad.
Man, you know, it's just
Clara's hair. We can get it.
I'm going to Sally's.
I'll be back.
Whoops.
That's funny. Well, thank y'all, man. We appreciate having y'all.
It's been a pleasure. Awesome. Like I said, your work is phenomenal. I'm looking forward to more, and I'm just so glad you took the time to come out here.
Oh, please. It was an honor to be here. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because y'all bring it up. Can I just ask you this, though? Are we going? I mean, I know you probably don't know.
Is it going to be a season three? Is that what you want
to
know?
Do I need to go outside and talk to the ancestors right now? Let me know.
We don't know. You know, things are up in the air. We don't know. I mean, it's not that it's a show thing or like, or they don't believe or anything like that. We just don't know what's happening.
Well, she only saying it because she worried about WGN. They be tripping over there. Sometimes.
Yeah, the WGN is tripping, you know. But go. No, but you know what? I will say they are actually our biggest supporters. Sony and WGN are very supportive of Underground.
I'm glad to hear that.
They are big marketers for the show. They have a lot of heart for us. And you know, Rita Cooper Lee, who runs the marketing over there, sister over there,
beast
who
mode.
She's a beast. I mean, she received the Publicist of the Year award for a reason because she put all of her heart in behind Underground and Outsiders.
Right.
And so you know, unfortunately, Outsiders didn't make it through, but doesn't mean it's over with them. They can still sell it and go to another network.
That's the hope.
But you know, for us, if it ends, you know, look, I feel like we've made our mark. We've said a lot, we've done a lot, and I think it's inspired so many. And the fact that we have traveled to DC, for instance, we were walking down the street and these two little girls who were 9 and 6 came up to us and hugged us and screamed and was like, oh my gosh, you all are our favorite, you know, this is my favorite show. The fact that the kids know it, the fact that they're doing a whole curriculum, not only in universities, but in middle schools and high schools. The fact that now with Underground having a Harriet Tubman and having her own episode, one-woman show that Aisha Hines destroys.
Aisha channeled Harriet. Like, yeah, I don't know what y'all think. That's Harriet.
Yeah. And
just know that.
And so for me,
y'all going from shots fired to...
You know, well, that's a whole story, too, because we all fought. When we met Aisha, I was like, Dewan and I looked at him and goes, that's Harriet Tubman.
It was very clear.
And then...
And Anthony directed an episode of Shots Fired.
And she was like...
So
she's Harriet Tubman. And then Misha came on set of Shots Fired.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we were all at dinner one day, and there was this, you know, we're all talking around or whatever, and Aisha was like...
We're huge fangirls of the show. It's the reason why, if I wasn't in an episode, I was not going to read that episode. So I was like, can I be a fan again? Thanks.
Right.
Interesting.
Bye. Right. But you know, we're out to dinner and she's just fangirling and gushing and trying to explain to Sanaa what the show is. You know, Sanaa hadn't seen the show.
Right.
She's seen it now. but she was telling her what it was and she goes, are you on the show? And Aisha's like, no, but I want to be.
And then Misha was like,
clocking.
Check.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
And at that point, it was, you know, it was all on at that point. And there's her, you know, not being able to audition and her being, you know, telling them, no, she can't audition, she can't do this. And then she fought through all of that.
Yeah.
And got to that audition. And now we have the infamous Harriet Tubman, who she slaughters. I mean, everything she touches, she slaughters. But it's just one of those things where now students, kids, kids, people, parents, families can come together and they can talk about it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be embarrassed right. about underground. We don't have to be embarrassed about our heritage. Mm-hmm. We can actually embrace it.
It's American history. And the fact that you have so many white characters on there that are telling some white stories that we don't get to hear. Like,
yeah.
We get to see those abolitionists. We get to see them make those hard choices. You get to see those poor white folks who mm-hmm. were on the underground and mm-hmm. how we, you know, how we had to work together. You get to see some white folks who were our detriment.
Yeah.
You know, and we get to, it's real. Yeah. And it's like, if you don't watch that and don't learn something
yeah.
and have some respect for black folk
right.
and what we go through and go through now, mm-hmm. something wrong with you.
Yeah. yeah. And
wrong.
I think that's at the end of the day, if that's what happens, if we're done, then, you know, hey, we said and did,
a
we
lot.
Made a splash.
Yeah. You did.
But if we do have a third season, there's definitely going to be some, we already have talked about some things and it's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every time we're trying to push the envelope even more,
definitely.
You know, to go,
definitely.
To tell different things that we haven't told yet, so because mm-hmm. we have so many.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
Thank you.
You
did
yes.
great work.
Ugh, thank you.
I can't wait. Okay, can you tell me for next week episode?
No. 10.
I'll wait.
I'm just
say
this.
Episode 10
is gonna be crazy. I mean, okay. you remember we're wrapping up a lot of
yeah.
stuff, and
yeah.
so what is Cato up to? That's mm-hmm. definitely gonna come to, and there's gonna be some decisions made about him. He's gonna come to a decision of who he is,
mm-hmm.
Kinda.
Yeah, he always kind of.
Yeah, and then you got
something.
Rosalie and his baby, and what's about to go down with him, and what's going to happen between their relationship. You got Georgia, who's still, you know, floating around in that, and Elizabeth, what she's planning to do because she's going all full,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
other Cato. And Ernestine, you know, she's
yeah.
still on the run and all
yeah.
that situation. So it's going to be a lot, and I think people are going to be very, very excited. It's definitely going to be watched. If you don't watch this, you're making a mistake.
You need to make some better life choices.
Make some better life choices.
That was
and
yes.
bring some tissues.
Tissues.
Oh, see where you at, DeWanda. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever?
Oh, me and Alana are super literal human beings. I'm at DeWanda Wise, mm-hmm. at DeWandaWise. And he is
at Alano Miller.
Yeah.
ALANOMILLER.
Keep it simple, guys.
I need to change my Twitter name to Miller Light. Cause
nope. Veto.
No,
Miller Light.
God told you got a brand.
God told me that I should change my name.
You got to brand that name.
Yeah.
So, where you at, Lisa?
Oh, y'all know where I am. I'm on Twitter. Every
Twitter.
Saturday night.
You gonna be on there with Alano, man.
All the shows that y'all know, the shows I love. I'll be live tweeting all that. And I'm trying to think if we have anyone's coming up. Oh, I'm waiting for, this is what I'm looking forward to. If Geek Soul Brother will finally give us a date with the Graveyard Shift, we want to do a live tweet of Train to Busan. So one day,
cool.
I cannot wait for that.
Bitch, have you seen it yet?
I have not.
It's on Netflix now.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
definitely gonna see
it's
that.
It's zombies. Yeah. Zombies, Korea.
Yes.
And fabulous
on.
Looking
yes.
men.
Yes.
What's to lose? Yeah, and Bitch Flicks, and of course, you know, come check me out at WisCon, and this summer, if you're in Helsinki, Finland, I'll be at Worldcon, so I'll be hanging out.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Doing my geeky girl thing and supporting my friends.
Exactly.
Shout out to Nalo Hopkinson, who's the guest of honor for Worldcon. So if y'all like some really good Caribbean influenced sci-fi fantasy, check out her work. But that's why I'm going.
That's what's up.
Go say
yes.
hi and support the sister.
Yes.
And get 24 hours of sunlight.
Hey.
And get the melanin pocket.
24 hours.
Jesus Christ. Now, I just flew in from Louisiana last night. I'm there. We're prepping to shoot a new pilot. It's kind of an Atlanta-ish type of a show, but
okay.
it's based on these two internet stars named Tyreek and Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're,
okay.
They're out of Abbeville.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw that while you were down there.
Uh-uh.
But it's like probably 2 hours away from Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were there like all week, you know, just prepping and meeting people.
Yes.
And so now we go back in like 2 or 3 weeks and cast and everything. Anyway.
You better do that.
Yeah. So I wrote it, and the creator of the show is my friend Pam, so we're going to be getting it in.
Pam.
Yeah. So, I'm so tired today. I still feel like I have jet lag today.
When'd you get in?
Last night.
You do.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like nap time. It's
yes.
totally like nap hour.
Yes.
Then
yeah.
like 4. Like,
and it's directed by Darren Grant. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah.
Darren. He's
yeah.
He's directed. Anyway, so boom. And I'm Hilliard Gass. I changed my tone.
Join around, people.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. You guys can follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram, same shit. Sound like you. I just keep it
simple. Yep.
Yeah.
Same thing.
You got a brand that shit.
Yeah.
Commit people.
Please go on Facebook, follow us there. You go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We need that for the metrics.
Yes.
And join in with us for 2017. That's our little thing we do. So you know how we do it on the Rant Room, on the show. Oh, thank you again, DeWanda. Thank you again, Alana, Lisa. Y'all know how we do it in the Rant Room. On the show, we keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it opinionated. Mm-hmm. We keep it what, everybody? 2017. Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
And I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room. Wanna be a writer, well you gotta be a writer till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the Rant Room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Rant Room.